Hello, friends. Let's continue with our series on Universalism. We're on section 11 today, talking about Peter now and what the first Christians in general, Peter in particular, suggested to their audiences about salvation. Did they talk about inclusive salvation, universal salvation? Interesting passage in Acts chapter 2, verses 39 to 40. The apostle Peter, as you know, preached a message of repentance and offered the promise of God to his generation. He said that that promise was for Jews and Gentiles. Well, you put Jews plus Gentiles, you've got the whole world. All who are afar off, he said, are called to this gospel. But immediately he qualified his statement with the words, quote, as many as the Lord our God will call. The gospel is for all men of all ages. But there are the called who will receive this message. I speak not here of Calvinism, please. Put your stones down. Just reading what it says. We're speaking of, though, a definite narrowing of the response that speaks against the universalist doctrine. Peter makes it even more plain in the next verse when he admonishes his hearers to save themselves from this perverse generation. In this dividing of humanity into saved and perverse, he follows in his master's steps. It's crucial to comprehend here that there is a separation forever taking place. It has its roots in time, but its fruit in eternity. Acts 3:21, the restoration of all things is coming, says Peter. One can only imagine how delighted a universalist is when he reads this passage. And I hate to be the bearer of such bad news, but this verse is not talking about personal salvation for every man, woman, and child on the planet. It's talking about something that was at one time, is not in Peter's day or now, but will be. Restoration or restitution speaks of bringing back a former state of existence. Something existed before that does not exist in its previous form at this time. Whatever that was will be fully brought back, says Peter, when heaven releases Jesus once more to this planet, when Jesus comes. Peter says that all the prophets spoke of this restoration. Isaiah saw it in Isaiah 2:2. Now it shall come to pass in latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. The old Jerusalem-based kingdom returns, is restored, is renewed. Jeremiah saw it in 33:15. It says, in those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. That's not exactly happening in our day, is it? It did in David's day. It did in Solomon's day. And it will in Jesus' day. A true restoration. Plus. And Ezekiel saw it in 20:40, for on my holy mountain, there all the house of Israel shall serve me, and I will accept them. A few have trickled into the kingdom in our day, but on that day, a mighty Israel, ruled by the mighty one of Israel, King Jesus. That's only the first three of the Old Testament prophecy books. I think you get the idea. It's the kingdom that is to be restored in its physical, visible, glorified form. What an absolutely wonderful day that will be. That's what we pray. Thy kingdom come. Because when his kingdom comes, his will be done all over this earth. As it's done only in pockets throughout the world today. Little glimpses of what's coming, down payment as it were, but the big deal is still out there when Jesus comes. Well, Peter didn't just speak in the book of Acts. He had his own book, and we're going to be studying his book. We'll start with First Peter. Right now, we'll have to continue it another time. The apostle's first letter is filled with clues about the nature of the saved and the unsaved. It says God's people have been born again. That is, they're of a different order altogether than the people of the world. We hear this said, God would not send his children to eternal flames. True. Never. But only the born again are his children. Peter says that the saved are holy unto God, separated from the people of this world, and therefore they will not share in their judgment. Peter says that the disobedient are going to stumble, and to this they were appointed. He quotes the psalmist who says that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Will that change after they die? Peter seems to have picked up from his teacher the fact that hell is real, and God is holy, and life is very serious. We'll pick it up right there next time around. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you today. Bye-bye.